John chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Let's stand, please, as we read the Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse number 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto her, unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Notice this, Sunday school class, he didn't get in an argument with him. You know, Jesus was pretty wise. You know, you study the book of Proverbs, then you study the life of Christ, you find out Solomon wasn't the wisest one that ever walked the face of this earth. Jesus was. And, alright, it says in verse number 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted of by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Jesus said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now notice verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, for help this morning. Lord, I certainly need you. Lord, I know that. I'm convinced of that. I've become assured of that more and more, Lord, through the years as I've preached. Lord, I need you this morning. I need your help. Please, Lord, these people need help this morning. We're just the needy people. From the pulpit to the pew, we need you. We ask, God, that you'd be with us in the next handful of minutes, Lord, as we preach the Bible. We pray, Lord, that there would be a stirring, Lord, in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that there would be an expulsion of Satan and his distractions. Help us, Lord, understand the importance of what's going on. I hope folks, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't just flippantly, for no reason, up and down, in and out of the service. Help us to realize the importance of what's going on here. And, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in a powerful way. Use the message to change us. There's so many things that we're going to look at, so many Bible truths, Lord, that have life-transforming ability. Lord, please, God, help us not to sit and just be a hearer, but to be a doer of your word. Lord, bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is sermon number 7 in my last sermon. Unless the Lord changes my mind some drastic way, I feel peace that the Lord is going to have me stop here. We've covered more than 7 I Am's in 7 weeks. But this is going to be the 7th sermon. It's as if the Lord said, you know what, that's my number, that's good, let's go to something else. But we've had an opportunity to look at many, many declarative statements by Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned to you in the Gospel of John, there's over 55 times that he said, I am, but most of them, many of them, are used in just average conversation. There's just this handful of about 10 or 11 that are used in a declarative statement in order to identify and present some tangible object in which we can compare Christ with and look at him and understand more about him. I pray that you've been helped by this. I've loved preaching this series. If God would just let me do what I would want to do, and in some way I hope this is done anyway, no matter what the subject matter is, I would preach the rest of my life on Sunday morning on Jesus. I just every week it'd just be, let's preach about Jesus. Let's find something else about Jesus. And I know that there's anytime you preach the Word of God, you're preaching about Jesus Christ. But I love going to the Gospels. I love to exalt Christ. I hope you love Him. I hope He means something to you. I hope you'll let Him be in your life everything that He wants to be. When He said, I am, what He said was, I exist as these things. But you know what? Each of us have to allow Him to be these things in our life. He can be the bread of life and you can sit there and starve. He can be the true vine and you can never produce fruit. You think about that? He can be the way, the road, and you know what? You can be on your own path. You know, Jesus doesn't force these things, but he presents himself and makes these things available. And my goodness sakes, what a foolish thing to accept Christ as Savior and then not accept him for all of the other things he wants to be for us in our lives. I am the light. Now, I saved this one on purpose for last on purpose. And I'm going to tell you why in a few minutes. But this one I am is very unique in a certain way. There is something about this I am that is different from all of the other I ams. And we're going to look at that in just a few minutes. Jesus said, I am the light. John 8, verse number 12, Jesus said this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Notice this. Here's the statement then. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I pray that you'd underline that or put some identifying mark near that, but shall have the light of life. Here's the question this morning, and we're going to present an introduction. Here's the question. Are you walking in darkness or are you walking in the light of life? Are you walking in darkness or are you walking in the light of life? God, Jesus said, I want to be the light of your life. I want to be that one that provides light for your life. How many of you have ever walked in darkness? Interesting. Especially if you stay in a motel. Get up in the middle of the night, no night light. Different room, different setup. I have hurt myself bad in a motel room, many motel rooms over the years, just trying to find the bathroom in the middle of the night. So much easier when you turn the light on. I have been deer hunting some. Some of you have been deer hunting. Many of you have, some of you have been deer shooting and deer killing. All I've gotten done is deer hunting so far. And I found several. If I wasn't so picky, I'd have one. But deer hunting. Now, there's a couple things about the way I deer hunt. And if you've gone with me, you know this is true. Is that, number one, I want to get there early. I want to get settled in my stand long before light. It's not unusual for me to be in the stand and be sitting there for an hour or more waiting for light. And number two, I like to go as far away from the road as possible. The only problem is those two things sometimes create problems in my life. You know, there's a great difference in trying to find your deer stand at night with even just a little light. I'm talking about partial moonlight. Or a small little pencil type light, a couple AA batteries in it. It's amazing how much difference it is getting to your stand with just a little light than it is trying to find it in the darkness. I've gone at times and forgot my flashlight and tried to find my stand. And I got to it, but let me just say this. There was a lot of things that I got into on the way that was not good. You get into the woods in the pitch black of night and you're trying to find a certain landmark. Buddy, it's amazing how many sticker bushes I found along the way. And how many times I've tripped and fallen or stepped on something I shouldn't have or having to backtrack and go a different way. And if I'd have just had a little light, you know what? I grieve in my heart because what I'm describing is how some people spend their entire existence. I mean, they may be walking in broad daylight, but they're as lost as if they were stumbling around at the darkest midnight out in the woods somewhere. They get tangled. They get hurt. They don't know where they're at most of the time. And Jesus screams from the Scripture, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of your life. It's amazing how when we get close to Christ, everything becomes clearer and so many pitfalls, so many mistakes are avoided in our life. Notice this statement is made. Let me just give you this thought. We want to put it in context and I'll get into the message. But this statement is made after his compassionate rescue of a sinner. And I wanted to read this story because Jesus, in verse 12, the Bible says, then spake Jesus again. And what do you mean then? Why is then important? Because of what had just transpired. Jesus was the light of the world, and this statements made after he compassionately rescued a sinner. You know, if you've got a Scofield Bible, you may have read this note or you may not have. But if you go back to chapter number 8, and the page that's on, page 1125, if you've got a Scofield Bible, down at the bottom there's a little commentary written by Scofield. And it says, John chapter 7, verse 53, and John 8, 1 through 11 is not found in some of the most ancient manuscripts. Augustine declares that it was stricken from many copies of the sacred story because of a prudish fear that it might teach immorality. But the immediate context, beginning with Christ's declaration, "I am the light of the world," seems clear to have its occasion in the conviction wrought in the hearts of the Pharisees, as recorded in verse 9. So also it explains the peculiar virulence of the Pharisees' words in verse 41. I said that to just let you know. Do you know that there are modern Bibles that you could buy at the bookstore, and if you open them up, that's why I just get you a King James Bible. If you're still carrying something besides the King James Bible, let me appeal to you, get a King James Bible. Well, Brother Jerry, I like the NIV. If you'll let me, I'll sit down with you and I'll have you turn in your NIV, and I can list about 27 verses that if you'll go and try to find them, they're gone. I said they're gone. I said they're gone. Some man decided that they weren't necessary to be in the Bible. There's Bibles that if you buy them from the bookstore, this entire story's gone. I think I remember something in the book of Revelation about taking away or adding from the Word of God and your name taken away from the book of life. Trust your preacher. I'm not going to get into a big, deep talk about this. I'm probably not going to ever go into a big study about it, just because, you know what, this isn't a Bible college and it's not necessary. The honest truth is, if you just trust your preacher, get a King James Bible, hug it to your chest and say, "I have the very words of God," and believe that for the rest of your life, you'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. Now, this story was stricken because they were worried that it would make it appear that Jesus was soft on adultery. Remember, folks, there's no reason for us to feel that way, because Jesus said in verse 11, when she said, "No man, Lord," after he said, "Where are thine accusers?" Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee," but notice this, "go and sin no more." And then it's followed by this verse, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So what he was saying there was, I'm not condoning what she's done. I'm trying to lead her from the darkness to the light. Folks, let me say this. When somebody is a sinner, and I'm involved in gross immorality, you know what they need? They need rescue. They don't need stoned. They need rescue. They don't need stoned. And so you offer that. Now, it's up to them whether or not they'll accept the forgiveness and grace of God. And if they don't, then it's on them. But here's a woman that I think realized who Christ was. I believe she became a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe she left that lifestyle from the context. I believe that Christ seen that. And you know what he said? He said, "You know what? Those of you that are without sin, you cast the first stone." Hey, church member, I'm glad you live a godly life. But do you use that as an excuse to pick up stones and throw them at people that maybe aren't where you're at yet? You know that's a wicked way to live. That's a wrong thing to do. I'm not talking about condoning sin. You're going to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're going to hear sin preached against hard and strong from this pulpit. But you know what? We preach against sin, but we love sinners. And thank God, God was wise enough to separate the sin from the sinner and hate the sin and still love the sinner. And I pray that we'll always be that way at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. When you see me trying to help somebody that's involved in sin, don't you say, "Brother Jerry's gone soft on sin." You say, "Brother Jerry loves sinners." Because you know what? That's who Jesus was, and that's what he did. Now, he says this, though, "I'm the light of the world." Light shines into the darkness, folks, to lead men from the darkness into the light. I want to help people that want help. I want to help people that are in sin. I will tell you this. Let me just give you an illustration. But our phone rings all the time. It's rung the last two or three days here at the church. And there's some people that, you know, this is how I picture them. Remember I was talking about trying to get to the deer stand without a flashlight? and you get tangled up in briars, and you get lost, and you get in all kinds of a mess, trying to just find your way. So they get in that situation, and they call Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they call the preacher. And so we come, and we try to help them. Hey, let me get you unbound. Now, let me turn on a light. Let me give you a light. I don't want the light. Turn the light off. Just get me out of the stickers. Well, we can, and we'll help you get out of the stickers a little bit. But here, you really need this light. Just get me out of the stickers. And by the way, it's not 3 weeks later they're calling again. Or a month later, 3 months later, they're calling again. Can you help me again? Well, I'd like to help you, sure. But listen, the reason you're stuck is you need a light. Now, let me introduce you to the light of the world. I don't want a light. I just don't want to get stuck. I'm stuck and I just need help. You just help me get unstuck. You know, a lot better way to live your life is get a light. Is to get a light. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus shone the light into the darkness to lead men from the darkness into the light. And I think this is what was happening in this story. Now let me give you a couple of statements. We'll look at some things. First of all, Jesus provides the light of life. That means for you to live your life and for you to know how to live it, where to go, what to do to keep from getting stuck all the time, getting lost all the time, the person that you need in your life is Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, trust me, this is true. If you'll think about your life, you'll understand it's true. You've been trying to live your life in darkness, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. At times you may feel like you're okay, but isn't it amazing how you just go from one crisis to another crisis, one mess to another mess, and the honest truth is you don't know which way to go? So Jesus provides, with salvation, provides the light of life. Now, let me have you go to John chapter 9. We're not far from that. And if you will, let's look at verse number 1. John chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. Now notice this verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eye of the blind with the clay. You know what Jesus was about to do here without me reading the entire story again? He was about to shine light in darkness. Here was a man that was blind. We ran into a woman whose life was a wreck, morally a wreck, and you know what? He shone light and brought her from the darkness to the light. Here's a man that is blind. He says, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. I'll show you how I'm going to be the light of the world. And he brought that man who was blind from being blind to being able to see. And you know who did that? The light of the world did that. Now, don't miss this because we're building towards something. Jesus provides. He offers the light of life. And Jesus was the light of the world while he was in the world. John chapter 9, verse number 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's an amazing statement. If you look in the context of this statement here, Jesus stops in the middle of getting ready to bring someone from blindness to sight, and he says, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So we see that Jesus provides the light of life, and while Jesus was in the world, he was the light of the world. Now, let's go to Matthew. We're going to go outside of John, but let's go to Matthew chapter number 5. I want to bring you something that I think is just astounding. When I read this and when I studied this, I said, I am the light of the world for last, because in a very unique way, this is separate. It's unique from the other I am statements. Matthew chapter number 5, if you'll notice verse number 13, Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 13, we read this. And ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now notice that. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I want you to think about this. Are you already thinking about it? Jesus, when he left this world, remember what he said? As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But when Jesus left this world, he handed us the responsibility to be the lights of the world. Now, by the way, that's not true of any other I am statement. Jesus never passed any other I am responsibilities to us. Remember our first one we studied where he declared, I am God? But when he left the earth, he didn't say, now I'm going to be gone, so you're God. No, he remains God. He is the only God. He said, I am the bread of life. And nowhere will you find once he left where he said, guess what? Now you're the bread of life. You know what? That would be blasphemous. Jesus remains the bread of life. He said, I am the door. I am the door. If you're going to enter in the sheepfold, I'm the door. And by the way, when he left, he didn't say, now, Jerry Ross, while I was on earth, I was the door, but now you're the door. No. Jesus is the door. And by the way, no Baptist church is the door. No Baptist preacher is the door. No Catholic priest is the door. Okay? Jesus is the door. If you're going to enter in, you go through Jesus. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. And guess what? He didn't hand that off either. By the way, Jesus is the head of this church. Don't you ever leave this place and say, you know who's in charge of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? You know who's in charge of that church? You know what the head of that church is? Jerry Ross. Don't you do that. Don't you put a bullseye on me. And listen, lightning's going to come get me. Don't you do that. I don't want that said. Jesus is that good shepherd. He's the one that'll lead you. He's the one that'll guide you. He didn't say, I am the true vine. Now, I'm going to leave the earth and now you're the true vine. No, he said, guess what? You're just a branch. You'll always be just a branch. If you want to produce fruit, I'm the true vine. You've got to hook into me. He didn't say, I am the resurrection, but now that I'm leaving, you're the resurrection. No, nope, by goodness sakes. Again, that would be blasphemous. He didn't say, I am the way, but now you are the way. Nope, you won't find that. I am the truth. Now you're the truth. Nope. Well, that'd be horribly blasphemous, wouldn't it? I am the life. Now you're the life. He didn't say that about anything. Any of the I am statements, he never said, I am, now ye are. Except when it came to this statement, I am the light of the world. And then he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he said, ye are the lights of the world. Now that's powerful. Now that's powerful. Well, Brother Jerry, that still makes me a little nervous. Jesus is the light of the world. And now he says that he's gone and we are the lights of the world. How's that different from us not taking on something else that he was? That still makes me a little nervous. I'll be honest with you, as I was studying this and praying about how to best illustrate this, God gave me something good when Brother Jesse McCammon was preaching at the nursing home last Sunday. I've been going over to the Jasonville nursing home. We're in the process of discipling and training him to eventually take that. I'm going to probably go with him for 4, 5, 8 months. Well, with the progress he's making, about 6, 7 years, I'll go with him. But I've been going over there with him and helping him a little bit on his sermon preparation, been helping him, teaching him to lead the singing and eventually we'll hand this thing over to him. He's doing a good job. He really is. But you know what? It's fun to be, and I'm not, I hate to use the word old. It's good when a somewhat seasoned preacher just listens to a young man preach and just says, wow, that was good. You know what? Let me say this to some of you young men. I'll tell you something. God can use you just like he uses this preacher. God calls you to preach. You know what? You may have a lot to learn. You may have a long way to go. But you know what? You get behind that pulpit, you study the Bible. It's amazing how God speaks to young preachers and opens the Bible to them. He was preaching. Say, what was he preaching on? I don't know. I'm not sure he knew what he was preaching on. And he'd go in 15 different directions and grabbing verses and putting it together. And I just loved it. I just loved it. But he ended up over in Genesis chapter 1. Again, I'm not sure why we were there. But he ended up in Genesis chapter 1. Would you want to go over there with me? Genesis chapter number 1. I want to show you this. Remember this. I am the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. He shared just a quick thought and then moved on. And I went, wow. You know, how many of you have listened to a message and maybe the man doesn't say exactly what you needed to learn, but he said enough, close enough, where the Holy Spirit says, here, let me give you an answer to something. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. Evening and the morning was the first day. And he mentioned about the fact that when God created light, one of the first things He used the light to teach us was the doctrine of separation. And listen, I don't know if that word makes you nervous. The Bible word is sanctification. We're going to see that. I don't know if that word makes you nervous, but it shouldn't. Folks, this is elementary Christianity. God says, I'm going to make light, I'm going to make darkness, I'm going to separate the two, I'm going to call the light something, I'm going to call the darkness something. And you know what? Every sense, folks, sin's come to this world, there's been light and there's been darkness. And you know what? We're to be light. Someone asked me once, well, Brother Jerry, they got frustrated. Well, Brother Jerry, just how much different from the world do you think we're supposed to be? I said, as different as light is from darkness. Go into a room at night, turn off the light, look around. That's darkness. Flip the light on, that's light. Are they pretty drastically different? Then why aren't you? Why do you dress the way the world dresses? Why do you look the way the world looks? Why do you listen to what the world listens? Why do you watch on TV what the world watches on? Why do you go on internet sites that the world would go on? Why do you spend your time doing everything that a lost man would do? What is distinct and different about you that causes anybody to see anything different than what they see in their own life? And the first thing that God teaches us is that, listen, light is not the same as darkness. And darkness is not the same as light. Well, you sure can't tell them blessed old people. Well, I hope so. I hope we're not slipping there. I hope we're still raising our children that way. I hope we're still doing that, men, ladies. I hope we are. We ought to. Alright? That's the first doctrine. Now, let me show you this, and this will excite you. In verse number 14, then, we see this. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Notice where the lights needed? The lights needed upon the what? Folks, the reason we're supposed to be lights and shine bright, you'll see repeated over and over and over again, isn't for God's benefit, it's for men's benefit. Men need to see light. They need to see something different than what they are. They need something shining out of the darkness that they can head towards to find the answer. Now that means they're using their eyeballs and they're looking at you and they're looking at me. Well, look, Jerry, you know what? Man looketh on the outward appearance and God looketh on the heart. That's right. And I'm not trying to get God to God. I'm trying to get men to God. So how I look in the eyes of men is important. It's a reflection of who and what I am. Man cannot look in the heart, so therefore they must look on the outward appearance. So the outward appearance should say something about us, that we're different from the world. Amen. Now look at this. This is going to get good. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now notice this. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. I love that. You've got to underline greater light to rule the day. And the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Woo! I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. He's the greater light. We're the lesser light. Would you agree with that? That's kind of a no-brainer. He's the greater light. We're the lesser light. Well, Brother Jerry, He's never handed any of these I am's to us. Well, let me just share this with you. He's not really handing this one to us either. Because the moon doesn't really have any light. Hey, you kids know that? You've been paying enough attention in your paces to figure out that the moon's not on fire? The moon's not a sun? The moon has no light? The only thing that the moon does, was this good? The only thing that the moon does is reflect the light of the sun. Now what he was saying was this, I'm going to be gone from the earth, but I'm going to shine my light so bright, and I want to shine it so bright into your life that my light reflects off you and they can still see my light. Amen. Isn't that good? So Jesus is the sun. We're just moon. We're the moon. He's the greater light. We're the lesser light. We have a responsibility to shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you this. You hunters know this. You people that like science, studied all this, you know this. There's phases of the moon. Well, we're going to get some good stuff here, Father. Thanks for giving me that seed thought, amen. I'm glad we're in Genesis chapter 1. I got thinking about this. There's phases of the moon. I've got this new solar clock in my office, you know, that's supposed to set. And now they've got them. We've got one at the house, too, that not only tells you what time it is, but it tells you the indoor temperature and the outdoor temperature. And then it even tells you a forecast of what it's supposed to do that day. I mean, they're crazy. It's amazing what they can do. Have you ever gone out at night and you look and someone says, look, a full moon. And then you go out and maybe there's a three-quarters moon, then a half moon, then a quarter moon. And then have you ever gone out and said, there's no moon tonight? Well, folks, there's a moon. There was a moon when there was a half a moon. There was a moon when there was a quarter moon. There was a moon when there was no moon. There's a moon. Well, why can't I see it? Well, let me ask you this. Why is it that there's a shadow on part of the moon at certain times? Why is it sometimes that it shines brightly and other times there's a shadow over? What is it? What gets between the sun and the moon that causes it to dim in its brightness? What is it? What is it? Hey, carnal Christian, what is it? You don't want to say it, do you? It's the world. 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 You know what Jesus said? He said, you're the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. I'm going to go up and I want to shine full blast on you and reflect my light back to the earth so that people can see, so that lost people can see me in you. But you know what? Dims the light. The world dims the light. Let me ask you, where you at? You a full moon? You a three-quarters moon? You a half moon? You a quarter moon? Now listen, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, I've done it. I've been out getting out of the truck at 5 o'clock in the morning, heading out into the woods. You give me a night that has a full moon, I'll never have to turn a flashlight on to find my stand. You give me a night where there's no moon, and there is a moon, but it's got so much of the world between it and the sun, it's not doing me any good. And you know what? I'll get lost. Yeah, now, listen, folks, we've got to get back to reevaluating these things. Now, there's a whole section of Independent Fundamental Baptists. I said Independent Fundamental Baptists. There's a whole section of them that's given up preaching against worldliness, giving up preaching against carnality. You know what? You know what? You just can't win that. You can't build a church preaching on those things. Pastor Ross heard that for years. Well, since when have we been commanded to build a church? Jesus said, I'll build my church in the gates of hell prevail not. We're commanded to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Follow along suffering and doctrine. That's what I'm commanded to do. Now listen, folks. Has Hollywood blocked a bunch of the light in your life? Some internet chat room blocked a bunch of the light in your life? Following the world's fashions, has that blocked a bunch of the light in your life? What is it? What is it, young man? Allowing yourself to have a filthy mind, has that blocked a bunch of the light in your life? Has the wrong kind of magazines, the wrong kind of books, the wrong kind of friends? What is it? What is it that's blocking the light? What part of the world has become so important to you that it's dimmed out Jesus Christ? Let me tell you who's suffering. The people that are suffering are the lost people that need a light. about what you want to do. It's not about what you think is right and what you don't think is right. It's where the lost people can see the light. Where the lost people can see a difference in your life. And I thought about this. Boy, you talk about a step farther. I got thinking about that whole moon, sun, earth thing. We talked about the phases of the moon. You're enjoying this, aren't you, JK? Amen. Talked about the whole... Then I got to thinking about this. All right, where's my science students at? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? all kinds of things I want to say that I shouldn't right now, so I'm just going to shut up. Tell me what an eclipse is. How many of you ever seen an eclipse? You're not supposed to look at it. What, are you crazy? Put your hands down. Don't look at an eclipse. Your eyeballs are going to burn out and melt out of your face. That's what they told me in elementary school. They'd scare us to death so that we wouldn't go out in recess and all look up at the eclipse when it was happening. You know, they'd tell you a horrible story. What do you think about that? You know, there's been times, and we can read throughout history, where God used eclipse, where different civilizations experiencing an eclipse and they thought it was all kinds of things, but what is it really? You know what an eclipse is? You think about this. You talk about a convicting thought. You know what? Our light dims in accordance to when how much of the world gets between us and the sun, but you know what's even sadder than that? Is when the lesser light gets between the sun and the earth, and dims out the sun by its very existence. And I looked at this and I wept and I was brokenhearted in my office. Young people, listen to me. There are Christians, and I'm not mad at them. I would to God they'd get right. But there are Christians that just haven't let some of the world into their life enough to dim their light. There's Christians that are living there, are so-called Christians. I guess they are. They claim to be. They swear to me they are. But they are living such hellish lives that by their very existence, they're blocking the light of the sun from getting to the world. You realize you're the only Bible most people will read? Now I want you bus kids to listen to me. You ride a bus to church. Praise the Lord. By the way, we love you here. You're not a second class attendee at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're an honored guest every week. We love you. We want you to come. But listen to me. Kids in your class, don't tell me that. Listen, I'm from a small town. There's no secrets. They know you ride the bus to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They know you attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You've got a school full of lost kids. That you're going to a school full of lost kids, and they know you attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Are you living your life in such a way that you are the very thing that's preventing the light of God from getting into their life because you are standing by your horrible testimony, by what comes out of your mouth, by the way you act in class, by your rebellion, by your filthiness of speech? Are you the very person that's keeping the light of God from their life? And this is what Jesus said. He said, listen, I'm the light of the world. And in a sense, he was not relinquishing that. Because, folks, we don't have any light except what we get through him. But he said, I want to so shine in your life so that it reflects, so that all of the men and women in this world that interact with you, every other student at your school, will see the light of Jesus Christ. Now, how do they see that? Let's continue to look at this. You see, folks, when the lesser light blocks the light of the greater light, we have an eclipse of the sun. When the moon's light is dim to the extent that the world comes between the lesser light and the greater light, we have the phases of the moon. Matthew went on to say, let's go back there if you're not there, Matthew chapter number 5, Matthew chapter number 5. Let me get you back here because I want you to give you this. Boy, this last part, folks, it'll help you. Matthew chapter number 5. Notice what Jesus says after he says, "Ye are the light of the world." Notice what he says. Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." Notice this, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now you think about the light reflecting, greater light reflecting off the lesser light. Everything in the Bible is there on purpose. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you build a city on top of a hill, okay, what's a hill? Hill's part of what? Isn't this good? You know what he's saying? Hopefully he'll just give you this. He's saying, you're supposed to be higher than the world. You're supposed to be higher than the highest point in the world. And then you're supposed to shine like crazy. Because you know what? You won't be hid. There's too many Christians that are living in the valley. Too many Christians that, you know what? You're building your city, you're building your life in such a place where nobody's going to see the light. So he says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Then he said this, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. So we are to be higher, and we are not to be hidden. Jesus said, listen, get to the highest point, and be at the highest point on the earth, and then rise above that and shine for me. Now here's the second thing he says. If you've got to light a candle, you don't put it under a bushel. Now, folks, listen to me. Is there a bushel over your life? Is there a bushel over your life? And then the Bible goes on to say here that he doesn't put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. And so he said, you can light your light. By the way, we're going to baptize this young man today. And is there anybody else besides that bus captain? We have this one being baptized. It's been wonderful to watch the young people get saved. We watched some of our folks get saved. We've had some adults get saved. You know what that means? Your light's lit. You're not the same person you were. Sean, you're not the same person you were before you got saved. You have the light of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, you know what? Your candle's been lit. Now, what are you going to do on tomorrow and the next day and the next day? You're going to stick it under a bushel? You're going to hide it when you're at the public school? You're going to hide it when you're on the playground? You're going to hide it when you're in the neighborhood? Or are you going to put it on a candlestick? And you know what? If you put it on the candlestick, it'll shine bright. People will see. It's not you. It's Jesus. It's Christ, the light of the world, shining and reflecting in you and through you. So we see Jesus says, listen, we're to be higher than the world. We're not to be hidden from the world. So we read then in John chapter number 17. I'll end by reading this. Let me just go ahead and get over there and read this. When Jesus was praying in John chapter number 17, I want to remind you of these words. If you want to, you can turn there. John 17, verse number 9. Jesus was getting ready to go to Calvary. He stops and he prays for his disciples. John 17, verse 9, he said this, "I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name, Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Now notice this, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And you know what that last prayer of Jesus Christ that he prayed before he went to Calvary's cross was saying? Listen, there's a group of men here, and you know what? I'm about to hand over the light to them. Help them to realize that they are in this world, but they are not to be of this world. They are in this world, but they are not to be of this world. And you know what he said? He said the only way that they're going to reflect the maximum amount of light is if they allow themselves to be sanctified through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, I'm not going to quit preaching at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on old-fashioned separation. We are to let the Word of God sanctify us. That word sanctify means set us apart. That's like coming over and God reaching into the world and picking out somebody and saving them and setting them apart from the world. We're supposed to be, listen, we're in this world, but we're not supposed to be of this world. And what Jesus wants to do in your life is clean you up once you're saved. The less you look like the world, the more you're going to reflect the light. The less you talk like the world, the better you're going to reflect the light. And the less you act like the world, the better you're going to reflect the light. And we may be lesser lights, but we've got a greater light. Jesus Christ is that light. Thank God that Jesus came to the world to be the light of the world. Let me ask you two questions. Are you lost? Are you walking in darkness? Could I encourage you to come to the light? Number two, are you saved? Good. Now let me ask you, are you a city set on a hill? Is your light under a bushel on a candlestick? What phase of the moon are you in? And please, please, please tell me that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday you're not causing an eclipse of the sun by your life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use the Scripture in our lives, Lord. What a responsibility you've given us as Christians. Here's an I am that you hand over to us as you leave the earth. Lord, thank you, Lord, that anything that we reflect doesn't come from us. If it's going to make a difference, it comes from you. Now be with us, Lord. I pray even during this invitation, just speak to hearts. We've had many young people saved or late, baptized. Maybe there's a young person here that's never been saved. Maybe there's an adult that's never been saved. I pray that they'd come to the light. Maybe there's been a young person that's been saved or an adult that's been saved, but they've never followed the Lord and believer's baptism. I pray, Lord, that they would come forward today and say, I want to be baptized. Maybe they've been saved and baptized, but they've never joined Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray that they'd join the church today. Lord, maybe there's something in our lives. Lord, maybe as we examine our lives, we see that there's some things that are causing a dimness of your light. Lord, our family members need to see the light of the world. Our fellow workers, our co-workers in the workplace need to see the light of the world. The classmates of these young people need to see the light of the world. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to shine brightly everywhere we go for Jesus Christ. We pray these things in His name.